Hi guys, how's it going? My name is Pat Gorman. I'm starting a new podcast. It's going to be called Sports and BS with Patrick Gorman. I'm going to be talking a lot about sports. I'm a sports fanatic. You can call me a junkie if you want. I seriously follow football, baseball, and basketball. I really don't watch hockey much, but if I do watch hockey, I'm a Rangers fan. Because I'm from upstate New York, around Albany, Troy to be exact. Right now I'm living out here in San Diego. Living life. It's a beautiful thing out here, you know. Gotta love San Diego weather. Not the people so much, but I love the weather out here. I'm going to be talking a lot about sports, entertainment. Basically, anything that entertains a listener to actually hold on to this podcast and actually listen. I try to be a comic at heart. This podcast was actually inspired by Bill Burr. You know, I listened to his podcast, the Monday Morning Podcast, and it just totally inspired me to try it and to start out. So, yeah, give it a shot, see how it goes. My goal is to be a sports talk radio host one day. So this is, I guess, the first step of actually trying to get my voice out there. So I'll be hitting topics on NFL, college. You know, I really love football. I mean, I played high school football. I was a running back. But here are my favorite teams in, I guess, a new sport. In at the NFL, I'm a huge Eagles fan. I have memorabilia. I have ink. You know, I got jerseys. Just really, really, really obsessed with the Eagles. It's totally sad because they're terrible this year, absolutely terrible. And they've never won anything, you know, ever. So, yeah, I follow the Eagles a lot. In college football, I'm a huge Notre Dame fan. I'm not a front runner. Believe me when I say that about all my teams, first of all. I've been an Irish fan since Bob Davie, you know. I've seen Tyrone Willingham coach that beautiful season and then just fall apart after that. I've followed the Irish through Charlie Weiss, you know, that one good season with Brady Quinn, and you know, they just fell apart. Golden Tate, all them guys, and now Brian Kelly hopefully has his team going to a national title. I cannot believe I'm saying that, but I am. I'm so happy about it. Brian Kelly looks like he has his team on the right path. I'm very, very proud of that. This is the most excited I've ever been, being an Irish fan, and it just looks awesome to watch that team every single weekend, you know, have a chance to win, and they're number one in the nation right now, and I'm so proud of that. When it comes down to baseball, I'm from New York, so I'm a New York Yankee fan. I know being from New York with all my teams doesn't matter, but, you know, I played baseball. That was my first sport that I actually played. Huge Yankee fan. You know, been to games, obviously. It was only a 3-hour ride down to the stadium, so I made a few trips down to the stadium, seen games. I've seen Derek Jeter play. I've seen the great Mariano Rivera close out games. I've seen Red Sox Yankees back in the old Yankee Stadium. It was actually Orlando Hernandez against Pedro Martinez. Great game. It was actually in September 2001, right before 9/11, which was crazy to think about it when you look back. But yeah, I was down there, and that was fun. It comes down to basketball. I'm actually a Lakers fan, and I'm not a front runner on that either. I've been a Laker fan since I've even started watching basketball, back when Eddie Jones was balling. You know, Nick Van Exel was at the point. AC Green playing power forward, you know, Glenn Rice joined in later a little bit, and, you know, I've seen Kobe Bryant's whole career in front of my eyes. I've actually been really, really blessed to actually see one of the greatest, you know, to ever play the game. He's right up there with Michael. He might be getting better than Michael. I mean, I don't know. We'll see. He's still got, like, probably 4 or 5 more years left in his career before his legs are completely shot, before he gets those Kevin Garnett legs, but, yeah. And hockey, like I said, I just, you know, if I ever watch it, you know, I'll just watch the Rangers play. And that's only if they're ever in the Stanley Cup Finals, so I can't even call myself a Ranger fan. But, yeah, that's my teams. Really passionate about all of them, and really, really excited to get my advice and my, I guess, my expertise on anything that I guess I have in any of the fields. I'm a former high school football player, baseball player. I guess that means nothing either, but yeah, just like talking about sports. Basically, I'm a fanatic, I'm a junkie, and really, really looking forward to this podcast. So hopefully people give it a shot so I can actually keep this thing going. All right, guys, so I'm going to dive into my first topic of the night, which is actually the Philadelphia Eagles, my team. So I think I know what I'm talking about when it comes down to the Eagles. My opinions are not skewed by anybody. I mean, I do listen to 97.5 The Fanatic. I'm a huge fan of Mike Missanelli, Tony Bruno, you know, Baldy. But the Eagles, they're just, what can I talk about them? That is just not pathetic. I mean, they are just absolutely atrocious. They stink out loud, and it's so terrible to watch them play because, you know, like I said, I'm such a diehard, and it's just, it's embarrassing to watch them. I mean, I watched the Redskins game last week with RG3 just absolutely unloading bombs on our defensive secondary, which is an ongoing theme this year because we don't know how to stop the pass. It's totally, totally clear that we can't stop the pass. Kurt Coleman is terrible. He doesn't deserve to be on an NFL field. It's so clear to see. The man is only interested in stopping the run. I mean, kids in D3 football don't bite on play action as bad as Kurt Coleman does. I mean, he's only looking to play the run. And every NFL team knows that, and it's just so fucking annoying to see him just bite on play action after play action. And it's obviously in the goddamn scouting report, so they just exploit his ass day in and day out. Nnamdi Asamoah, the biggest bust I might have ever seen in any sport. I mean, maybe besides Carl Pavano for the Yankees. You know, when he signed that big fat fucking contract from the Marlins. The Florida Marlins back then. Yeah, Nnamdi Asamoah. He can't cover anybody. It's so fucking clear that he can't cover because he gets toasted twice a game. One at least he gets toasted. And it was Julio Jones absolutely just running past him. And he's supposed to be a physical cover corner, and he has no business. He has no business being paid what he's getting paid, and he's just robbing. He's robbing his salary. It's so clear. More about the Eagles. Vic with his concussion last week against the Cowboys. That was terrible to watch. I mean, the man's been getting beaten up and down the street this year. You know, the offensive line wants no part in blocking anybody. You know, it's just terrible to watch him get thrown around like a rag doll, and then he gets a concussion. One of the softest hits I think I've seen in a while. You know, his head barely hits the ground. I guess it was a whiplash or whatever, but it didn't look like it. It just looked bad. I mean, it looked bad, but he was walking back to the locker room. He looked drunk walking back. So, yeah, he has a concussion, and they're not going to, he's probably seeing the last on the field, you know, as an Eagle at least. Which is sad because I got a fucking jersey of his and I can never wear it again without getting my balls busted by some of my boys. But, well, the keys to the franchise are in Shaggy's hands, you know. Fucking Nick Foles, man, the rookie from Arizona. He looks good. He looks alright. I'm not going to say good. That's overreaching. I mean, he showed a little bit of promise in the preseason, but like everybody said, you know, preseason means nothing in this league. Obviously. So we're gonna see what he's all about. You know, he's got a good arm, but like every rookie, you know, he's gonna struggle with accuracy. He's gonna have to learn the defense. He's gonna have to learn the NFL defense before he can solve it, before he can crack it. But you know who's cracking it right now? Fucking Robert Griffin III. That dude can ball. I just watched the game tonight against the Cowboys. I didn't see the whole game, but I actually just caught the highlights on SportsCenter. This kid, I mean, I'm so scared of him already. He's in his rookie season, and he's killing defenses. He killed mine last week. He just tore up the Cowboys in Dallas on Thanksgiving. So he's not afraid of the bright lights, obviously. The man makes commercials day in and day out. Dude's a media machine, so he's not afraid of the hype, I guess. Actually, the highlights are on right now. He said on Twitter, back in Texas and on a mission. So, yeah, dude was on a mission, that's for fucking sure. But the Eagles, it's terrible to see. Andy Reid's going to get fired, obviously. He just looks numb right now at the podium during after game pressers. Like, he's just getting his fucking world rocked. I mean, and the reporters down there, they're not really giving it to him. I mean, there's a few questions, you know, that are hard and make him look a little foolish. Especially Sal Palantonio, he's usually the one firing him off. But I mean, it's just, I don't know, it's terrible to see, because I thought he was a great coach. You know, I thought he was a great coach. He got us to 5 NFC title games. I mean, not really many coaches can say that, but we also only won 1 of the 5, which is downright embarrassing. I mean, I get my balls busted time and time again by Cowboys fans, Giants fans, Redskins fans. Yeah, it's terrible to see. But the fans fucking hate this team this year. Listen on the Fanatic. You know, they just tear into every team. I mean, every player on the team. Jason Babin is public enemy number one down there. The Fanatic is based in Philly, obviously. So he's just getting killed down there because he's opening up his mouth and really not producing on the field. I mean, last year he had, I think it was 17 sacks last year. But this year he's got like, I think like 3 or 4. I'll have to look that up. But he's not performing. The whole defensive line together is just not performing. It's just sad to watch. God, this guy Dez Bryant, when he gets his shit together, he's just fucking good. Yeah, I'm still watching the highlights, sorry. He's an idiot, though, Dez Bryant. God. But, yeah. The Eagles, they look terrible. They're 3-7 right now, and they have, I think they might go 5-11, 4-12. I mean, that's so sad to say because, you know, my whole life watching the Eagles, they've been good, you know? I mean, granted, you know, the Ray Rhodes, last couple of years, the Ray Rhodes era were terrible. And then 1999, you know, was the drafting of Donovan McNabb. And that's just when everything turned around. McNabb, my favorite quarterback. I mean, obviously, you know, my favorite quarterback. He's really good. But, yeah, that's the state of the Eagles franchise right now. Nick Foles, I haven't seen much of him, so I can't really give him an honest grade, but so far I gave him like a B minus so far. I really like his size, you know, he's 6'6". He can actually see over the defensive line, unlike Michael Vick, who I think is just, he might be shot. Vick is shot. You know, he's not as fast as he was even back in 2010 when Miracle of the Meadowlands Part 2 happened. So, yeah, that's the state of the Eagles right there, and that's going to be my first segment that I planned out for you guys. All right, so the next topic I want to hit on is the Los Angeles Lakers early season struggles. The Lakers this year, you know, just such high expectations for this team. Mike Brown really didn't get a good chance at, you know, implementing his offense, the Princeton offense. He only got 5 games. I mean, that is just so unrealistic to implement a new offense. You know, get superstars in line. Granted, he did have an entire preseason to do this, but, you know, 5 games is just so unrealistic. But that's LA for you. You know, that is LA is just, it's made up land. I mean, it's Hollywood, so, you know, they have unrealistic expectations about everything. So Mike Brown went 1-4. He got whacked. Lakers they flirted with Phil Jackson. Apparently, he wanted the moon. He wanted everything. You know, Phil's a crazy guy. You know, he knows his leverage. You know, he's sleeping with the owner's daughter, Jeannie Buss. You know, so he thought he can get away with everything, and you know, Jimmy Buss, the son who's running the team now. He didn't cave in to Phil's demand, so they went with Mike D'Antoni, and you know, Kobe Bryant fell in line with Buss. You know, said he's an offensive genius and all that kind of stuff. So D'Antoni gets the hire over Phil Jackson. You know, personally, I think that's a bad move. You know, you can't deny a man, you know, the chance to coach a team when he has 11 rings. I mean, that triangle offense is just perfect for this type of team. I mean, Steve Nash, he's just he'll adapt to any offense, I believe. But you know, you just need a guy in the triangle, you know, playing the point that won't turn the ball over. You know, and Steve Nash is that kind of a guy. And, you know, Dwight Howard obviously thrived underneath the, you know, the tutelage of Phil Jackson. He'll probably push all the right buttons for Dwight and just tap into some energy that he never thought he'd ever have. And so, personally, I think Phil should have coached this team. You know, he was probably asking for too much. That's probably why, you know, Buss didn't go with him. So, yeah, that's that. But 5 games for Mike Brown. I still can't get over that. 1-4. You know, you just can't lose with a roster like that, I guess. And he couldn't afford it. Steve Nash went down with a leg injury. He's been out for an extensive amount of time so far. I don't know. I forget how many games he's played. I probably should look that up before I did the segment. But yeah, he's only played a few games with this team. And he's out with a leg injury. He's going to be back soon. They want to make sure he's fully healthy when he comes back. So I guess that's good. You know, it's still early in the season. Yeah. But Nash, when he comes back, that team's going to be just so much better. That's the closest to a dream team I think I see. Even though they are old, you know. I mean, the Heat, I don't know why everybody's so high in the Heat. I guess they are. They're really good, yeah. But, you know, do you think Chris Bosh can D up Dwight Howard? I mean, he is just half the man Dwight Howard is, and Chris Bosh is pretty darn good, but he's just half the man Dwight Howard is. Howard's kryptonite is obviously his free throw shooting, and his free throw shooting, and I guess he gets lackadaisical just throughout the game. I don't know, nothing like Andrew Bynum, but I think he loses a little bit of a drive during the ball game. So D'Antoni made his debut against Brooklyn. They got the win. Very close game. You know, went down to the final minutes. Lakers free throw shooting, once again, atrocious to watch. It was just brutal. Dwight Howard, I don't know, he's just like Shaq. He can't hit a free throw to save his fucking life, but, you know, I guess that's what big men do. Except for Pau Gasol, he hits pretty decent amount of his free throws that I see. But, yeah. Free throws are terrible. Turnovers, they got to be cut, you know, obviously. So D'Antoni beats the Brooklyn Nets. And then they lose to the Sacramento Kings. They don't just lose to them. They get it handed to them, I think, by more than 20 points. And, you know, all in all, it's just going to take some time to gel together. But D'Antoni will obviously get more than 5 games because he's Mike D'Antoni. Even though he hasn't won as much as Mike Brown. But, you know, I think if D'Antoni had LeBron James, too, you know, he would have made that team really, really good, obviously. You know, he knows how to run an offense. But, you know, when D'Antoni was with Phoenix, you know, he didn't have Dwight Howard, you know. He didn't have Kobe Bryant. And he obviously didn't have Metal World Peace, that freaking animal. He's so fucking psychotic. That guy just launches threes left and right, and he just prays to make them. I don't know how he does it, but he just prays to make them. But the Lakers, you know, it's gonna be a wild ride with the Lakers this year. I think it's gonna be really, really fun to watch, and I don't think they've hit rock bottom yet, because, you know, it's gonna take a little while to get used to this team. But I think D'Antoni will have these boys in shape. They just gotta get. They got to get the cardio down. They got to get the plays down, and D'Antoni has to learn his rotation before this team really goes on a tear. But yeah, that's the recap on the Lakers so far. All right, now this little segment is called Studs and Bums Around Sports. We'll lead off with the studs. So far, the studs have been the New England offense and basically the whole entire New England Patriots football team. They played two teams, they played two games in over 5 days against the Indianapolis Colts and the New York Jets. In those two games, they've outscored both opponents 108-43. They destroyed the Jets on Thanksgiving tonight, 49-19. Obviously, a primetime blowout. It was on NBC. They scored 21 points in the matter of, I believe, 53 seconds, something like that. I saw on SportsCenter today. They just embarrassed the Jets. The Jets had 5 turnovers. The Patriots had a 4th down stop, caused a fumble. The whole freaking game was just owned by the Patriots. And Tom Brady, the golden boy, just looks great out there, like always. They made the Jets look like a Pop Warner team, basically. And they got a new white wide receiver named Julian Edelman. Apparently he's coming out of nowhere. Looks just like Wes Welker, you know, running the same routes, but he actually runs vertical as well. He had 2 touchdowns in the game. He had a special teams fumble recovery for a touchdown. And he also caught a bomb for a touchdown from Tom. The Patriots, you know, they just get it together around Thanksgiving. And Bill Belichick knows how to coach his ass off. Josh McDaniels getting that team going together. The offensive side of the ball. And they actually played some decent defense against the Jets. My second stud is going to be RG3. He's been on fire for the past 2 weeks. Against the Eagles and the Cowboys. Both wins, obviously. He has 8 touchdowns and only 1 interception in the last 2 weeks. 511 yards passing, 113 yards rushing. He leads the league with the most touchdown passes of 25 yards more with 9. The Skins have scored a total of 69 points in the last 2 wins. I mean, this is not your early 2000 Skins with Jim Zorn as the coach, Rex Grossman at quarterback, you know, Jason Campbell at quarterback either. You know, Jason Campbell can't play anymore either. But RG3, he's just a monster. He's really looking scary. He took apart Dallas today in the Jerry Dome. So happy that the Cowboys lost. You know, I mean, I can handle the Redskins winning. I can even handle the Giants winning. But, you know, when the Cowboys win, I hate that shit. Pierre Garçon is healthy now, so RG3 has a deep threat to go along with Santana Moss. RG3 looks like the real deal. I mean, I was hoping he would have like rookie foolish tendencies, but the kid looks like he was ready to go since day one. So he's a stud, along with the New England offense and the whole New England team, honestly. So yeah, that's that. And now let's go to the bums. So far, the bums I got, Jeremy Lin. I've always hated Jeremy Lin. You know, I'm not a New York Knicks fan, so I never bought into that whole insanity. He also torched my team when the whole insanity was going on. He made Derek Fisher look pretty foolish a couple times. And was never a big fan of Linsanity. You know, I thought it was just like Tebow Mania, which is just totally jammed down your throat by ESPN. Never liked Tebow Mania. That was just, oh god, terrible to watch. He's just the most overrated, I think, athlete of all time. You know, just because he loves God and gets on one knee after a touchdown. I mean, that's been done forever. And nobody ever got credit for it. And Tebow and the whole entire fucking epidemic was just terrible to watch. It was just forced down your throat by SportsCenter. But anyway, Jeremy Lin. It bothered me, you know, that he got so much credit because I knew he wasn't that good in New York. But right now he's shooting a terrible 33.3% from the field. I mean, he has cut down his turnovers, so I guess that's an okay thing. He's only averaging 10.7 points per game. And right now Houston's at 5-7 in the early season. But Jeremy Lin, you know, he's just a victim of his own hype, you know. And look at the Knicks now. They're obviously not hurting without him, you know. And they got a much older, more fundamentally sound point guard in Jason Kidd. And also Raymond Felton, too. He's playing very, very well. And, you know, the second bum, I'm going to have to just put on my boys, the Philadelphia Eagles, again. The whole team, basically the whole team have been a bunch of bums, except for LeSean McCoy and maybe Nick Foles. Nick Foles hasn't really proved himself yet to be a bum. But you know, just the whole team. I mean, LeSean McCoy gets a concussion, you know, under 2 minutes left in the game, and we're just down by double digits, and he gets a fucking concussion. Hopefully this is not a recurring thing, you know, because that'll just totally ruin, you know, any good thing that we have on our team. So that's my studs and the bums for this episode so far. Alright, so a quick recap of tonight's podcast. Gave a little introduction about what the show would be about. It's going to be about sports and other bullshit, hence the name Sports and BS with Patrick Gorman. I talked about the Philadelphia Eagles, the state of the Eagles, and how pathetic they have been over the season. I talked about, you know, the Lakers, the early season struggles, the firing of Mike Brown, the hiring of Mike D'Antoni. I also gave you my studs and bums for around the sports. Jeremy Lin, a bum. Philadelphia Eagles, bums, plural. Studs, Robert Griffin III, he's great. He's great right now, actually. I can't hate. I appreciate that. And the New England Patriots, they're just they're kicking ass right now also. They're in full swing. They have the offense like they do every single year. Now it's just going to come down to the defense like it does. And you wouldn't be surprised if they go to another Super Bowl. That's how good that franchise is. So fucking jealous of them, I'm not gonna lie. But I hope I like this podcast. I hope I get it going more and more, and hopefully people actually listen to this. I feel like I can actually speak to the sports fans like I know that I can. There's gonna be more segments. I'm thinking about doing the weekly power rankings of anything, you know, any topic. It doesn't have to be sports related. The most underrated thing out there, you know, any topic as well, doesn't have to be sports. I'm also going to feature picks, five picks, college and NFL games. And also, I want to do five things around the NFL and college football landscape, you know. Talk about the basically like Notre Dame, USC game, the officiating around NFL sports, how it's still terrible. And I'm thinking about more ideas day by day, you know, kind of just freestyle this as I go. Obviously, it's a podcast, but hopefully I can keep this thing going. Once again, this is Sports and BS with Pat Gorman, signing out, first episode.